Blog Talk Radio.
Okie doke. So, a few little technical problems with Blog Talk Radio, but we are back and running again. And I will grab Hatter, and I will grab Deborah Lee, my co-hosts, and we will be back again into the program. So I'm just going to assume that we missed the first little bit there and just say that. Stephen, you're back with us. And I'm going to say hello to 506 as well. Hello, 506. How are you?
Good. It's Lady A.
Hello, Lady. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, now one thing real quick,
technical
I'm sorry. AP and Hatter,
yes,
don't
yes.
push that button, that message button that's on the screen.
No.
Just leave it there.
Leave it there?
I had to erase the minutes that we already did because otherwise it won't
that's
let us
thought.
Do two shows on the same day. So, Hatter, you need to...
No.
Skip the niceties and just start by reading your poem again, please, and then take over from there.
Yes.
Okay. This was the prompt. Can of 10
right
shades of gray. Goes like this. I watched a blind man painting on a blustery, cold winter's day. He asked me if I had with me a can of 10 shades of gray. I heard a musician playing under a hot summer moon. He asked me if I had written the songs that made him blue. I saw a preacher preaching one glorious springtime dawn, rhyming words and questions, singing a biblical psalm. I left a poor man wishing for the dreams that never came true. The sky he kept reaching for, did you know that I loved you? I've learned how to see it all differently, painted in a colored pretense, in a world of simple complexity, pretending you know what it meant. In poem. That was the prompt.
Okay, yeah.
Poem that I wrote,
that was
10 Shades of Grey. That was the prompt.
Yep. So
I'll let you handle, AP, I'll let you handle pulling the pieces, if you would, please.
Yeah. No drama at all. And so, we then, as a group here at the Team of Voices on allpoetry.com, went and responded to that particular prompt piece of poetry, and we've had a number of different people do a number of different things. Now, Stephen, I think that you actually followed instructions and did a final verse. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. I took out that fifth stanza and added my own.
Cool. Now, can you just put that back up on the board again for us, just so that we can see it? I know you copied it up before, but God knows what the board's doing now, just in case. it's probably best for you to put it back up again.
Yeah. Here it comes.
Okie doke. Now, I'll be interested to... Was there a particular piece of the fifth verse that you sort of reacted to, Stephen? What was your thinking as you were writing this?
Well, I like the imagery of each different man that the writer runs into, and thought I would. It made me think. Well, I don't want to spoil my ending, but it just made me...
No, don't
that's
do that.
What was really striking was the different men that he was running into in this and the somberness of each one.
Now you can either reread the previous verse and then yours, or you could do it any way you want. And so you don't have to just read your stanza. You could interview.
Yeah. Yes.
However you want to do it.
All right. Well, I was just gonna read the whole thing because I put it on my page as a collab with you,
perfect.
Hatter. I hope that's
okay.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
We haven't collabed since the Bitches Britches, so I thought maybe we could do it again. So here we go.
Yeah.
So I renamed it. The mirror holds 10 shades of gray. I watched a blind man painting on a blustery cold winter's day. He asked me if I had with me a can of 10 Shades of Grey. I heard a musician playing under a hot summer moon. Me if I had written the song that made him blue. I saw a preacher preaching one glorious springtime dawn, rhyming words and questions, singing a biblical song. I left the poor man wishing for the dreams that never came true. The sky he kept reaching for. Did you know that I loved you? These four men I had looked upon did leave me in great fear. It happened. I happened on them that faithful day when I looked in the mirror. End poem.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I look in the mirror. Now, before.
Yeah, I like that.
That my poem ended after the poor man, after that verse. That last verse I added later because I didn't feel it completed. So, yeah, that's where it usually ended. Yeah, go ahead, AP.
I really like that, Stephen. I like the mirror. I like the fact that you turned the imagery back on himself. I thought that was really neat. And about the only thing that's missing is the word shadow, and then I think it's complete.
I know. Thank you. It's the only one that doesn't have shadow in it.
Thank you.
Deb, what did you think of that alternate ending from Steve?
Well, I thought it was a great wrap-up stanza because it brought us all the way back to the four men. And then the twist, how you're left in great fear, it happened on that fateful day when I looked in the mirror. And it was just like, whoa, stop you in your tracks, drop the mic kind of moment. So it's a great addition to the poem itself, but the closing line is quite brilliant.
Yeah, it's neat, isn't it? Lady A, did you want to say a few words about that collaboration?
Well, you know, I thought the whole Havers poem, of course, inspired me to write a complete poem. But I thought that your take on it, Stephen, was really good, and I very much liked it. It was, if I can draw a couple of things out, but I thought it was interesting that you put in what you put in for the last stanza. I thought it was these four men I had looked upon did leave me in great fear. I happened on them that fateful day when I looked in the mirror. What a profound ending for this. It was really, really good.
So
he fears his own reflection. This is good. I like this ending better than mine. In fact, I was going to ask you guys, everybody at the what do you think the last stanza? I think the last stanza I do not like that I wrote. I don't like it. I don't think it fits. And I think I need to change it. And I like your guys' honest opinion also.
Well, Stephen's in the...
I like Stephen's.
Superb.
Yeah. Like Stephen's. It's got a real sense of sort of Sybil about it, which I really like.
Well, yeah, sort of saying that he's all four men in the mirror.
That's what I mean. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. I really like it. I really like the whole idea of it.
Cool. Yeah, Deborah, what do you think?
Didn't I already comment?
No, about changing the last or dropping the last stanza that I wrote and possibly using one of the ones tonight. Or I do like Stephen's use of the mirror. The reflection, reflective of...
Well, I think that what you already have on the page is what inspired everybody and that you shouldn't take anything away.
In the original, the last stanza is not there. So if you want the original, I wouldn't be taken away. It would be... So
oh,
I don't
you can
like,
link
it,
Adam. Actually, please link it. Now, we've got two other callers. We've got two other callers, Hatter. Just one tick. I'm going to bring some people on. Hello, 603. Okay. How are you?
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing, Sky? Sky.
Yeah, Sky.
Put in to say hello.
Lovely.
Did you bring
to
me Hatter
gift? Sky, as always. Right. As always.
Did you bring Hatter
gift? And Hatter, we also have 720. Hello, 720.
Hello.
Hi.
That's sweetie.
How is everyone?
The degree of sugar. Hello.
So glad
lovely
you called.
You back, sweet. You?
I miss everybody. I'm very busy. Like last 3.5 weeks. I think I'm just back on to the normalness.
So glad
there you
called.
Go. Wonderful to have you back. Now, Deb, since we've got a full board, did we want to put the little joint work piece up that we do
collab
every week between Hatter, myself, and yourself?
Great minds and all that, because I already put it up there about 3 minutes ago.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So we are in your hands for this quite esoteric image, Deb.
This was definitely one of the most challenging ones to put together this time. And Hatter,
really?
Your last two lines, I just threw them away. Like, good luck with this is not part of the poem.
Did I put the number before that?
Something like, yeah, you did. You numbered it. You did. You numbered it. You wacko.
Okay.
But anyway, a little note on the side. I added the words. Where is it? Oracle, girl, gull, prickly, white, two, and then a few does. Everything else is all you guys just tailored a little bit, and you scored a 10. So here we go. It's called Down the Red Bricks to the Oracle Antiquity Bubble. And here we go. As the Oracle watches through the glass, dreaming of things inside the moon, out where there are no monkey guards, the girl woke last night outside her room, hovering over the field of discards. Just the pyramids, cows in that face, a white gull in the trunk, two penny speed bumps, and a suit with advertising space. With those pyramids and prickly cactus bibs, eating what they lie about, and a face transcendental mellow. Why do this here? It isn't quite clear. Song says the road will be yellow. Yet we see red bricks and the purple blizzard out searching for the things he's offering. We're off to see the wizard. Juggled marbles around a ball, nestled within frame a small girl. Silver fingers count them all, and the android hands never point that way. But we could find Toto in the swirl. Stacking dice for a little slice of things about to come. We're spheres circling inside the store. Umbrella Man, we call him Stan, anticipates the rain. And I'm certain we are not in Kansas anymore. And boom.
That's the one. That's the one. We had to finish with that we're not in Kansas anymore. I think it was only appropriate.
Me too.
Sky, did you want to make a comment about this this piece?
Oh, yes, I loved it. Excellent, excellent piece. I don't, have you, what's his name? Have you guys ever heard of, he wrote Wicked, and he also wrote, like, Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister.
Oh.
Yeah, I really love
him. Not Dan Brown.
What?
I know you're talking about. Never mind.
I'm talking to myself. Anyway, he wrote in one of the books, like after Wicked, because he wrote many in that series, he wrote Out of Oz.
Yes.
I really, really loved that one. And when you say, I'm not certain we're in Kansas anymore, I don't know why. But when anybody says that, I think of when she's going out of Kansas at the end of that book. And I thought this was beautiful. I like the way that you wrote the Umbrella Man, we call him Stan, because you bring in aspects of the picture. It's always really cool to see how you interlace what you see in the picture, how you each, both of you bring in lines, and then Deb has the task of linking them together, which isn't always, like, that's really hard work. So, like, I do give props to Deb also. So you guys give her wonderful lines, and then she takes the time and kind of threads this together to make some kind of a coherence. So it's quite brilliant. And I love picking through. So when you see a purple blizzard and you start to see all these things, I see the little bit of purple backdrop in the sky with the clouds, and you can do that with almost every line. And with the pictures that are so intricate like this, there's really so many different ways you can go. It's really well done.
But right. Yet they and always enough pieces to thread it together and be cohesive. That's the part that gets me. Because if they don't give me lines that I can put together, I'm doomed to fail. And now that I said it out loud, I don't know, but I'm knocking on wood. So far, they are just too in tune to make it not work.
Thank you.
Yeah, I
have a note in my bookshelf. I don't know why I just had a name blank. I have many, many, many of his books. He actually did a signing to the state below me, and I was unable to go. I was really bummed out.
Okay. Sorry, Heather. You were about to say.
Yeah. No, I was just want to ask you, what did you find it, as far as looking back to some of the other pictures, was this an easier one or a harder one? Before you answer that, I found it more difficult to piece things together.
Really?
To try to write. No, I didn't piece it together. Yeah, I did. I thought.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I sort of put my head in everybody going down the yellow brick road, and the minute I sort of put myself there, which was sort of, you know, we're off to see the wizard, as you can see. The lines sort of happened, really. Because instead of it was an easy picture to get distracted by because there were so many things going on. But when you sort of got in, we're off to see the wizard, you can only sort of see a certain number of things and fit a certain number of things in. So I just sort of went down the road, even though it was red, not yellow, and just sort of saw a few things as I went past.
I struggled a little more than usual. I don't know, maybe it was what I'm going through here, that my juices weren't flowing like they should. Deborah, you mentioned this was a little more difficult. You mean about just finding which piece goes where, kind of thing?
Yes. Literally threading them together this time was a little bit harder. But, you know, in all honesty, it's because I could feel your struggle in your lines. It's like you lost the idea of just looking at that picture and giving me a couple of lines about what you see. You tried to go on a journey, and it wasn't taking you on that journey, and your frustration was coming out in some of the lines. You put pressure on yourself along with the other stress that's happening right now. So, like, I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying you weren't your happy-go-lucky self trying to be funny or anything. You just, right, Umbrella Man, we'll call him Stan, anticipates the rain. I mean, that's Hatter. And then, like, the ones I took out, like, have fun or good luck with this line or I can't remember what they were, but I'm like, okay, well, he's not frustrated at all, is he? So it's like, I think I was picking up your vibes. But like you where is that? Where is it? I'm trying to. Okay, you gave me. Why do this? No. Good luck with this, my little sis. I got no more lines. And you put a number next to it. I'm like, I'm not putting that in there. And then there was something else that I was like, what? I can't even.
I didn't expect
and then,
you to.
I don't know. And then some of them I just, extra lines are fine, but out of line. I'm like, what? So I cut that out too. Like I said, your frustration was coming through, so I cut your frustration out. And then when I did that and stopped trying to fit them in somewhere, it was a little bit better. But at least even in all that frustration and stress that you were trying to write through, Hatter, you still homed in on, for example, the pyramid, and so did AP. And then there were the things that you homed in on that he didn't, which brought a lot of the images from the photo out. So
yeah.
It always seems to work out, but this one was just tougher.
Yeah.
And I really thought, Hatter, you would jump on that, you know, she's late, the pocket watch, and you just stepped right over it. So you were in a mood.
Yeah.
One more thing. AP, the other night on the show, Hatter and me and Lady A and Crystal, I think it was, we were talking about the dialect from the voices in our group. And I was saying,
right.
For example, how we say anchovy, and you say anchovy.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
now
indeed.
Another one of the words I mentioned by you are sort of in this poem, and I'm dying to know how you actually say it. So look at the second stanza, and can you read the last line of that stanza for me?
The just pyramids, cows, and that face?
Yeah, just read the last line of that stanza. And they
In the actual poem itself.
Yes, please.
Oh, got it. Okay. So it just the pyramids, cows in that face, a white gull on the trunk, two penny speed bumps, and a suit with advertising space.
Okay, because I was saying how we say advertisement, and you say advertisement, and I wondered if advertising was said different, but you said that the same as
no,
you.
No, it's the same. Yes, exactly.
So
yes.
That's fascinating.
But we
Thank
say
you.
Advertisement differently. Yes,
right, and we say advertisement. But you just said advertising,
yep.
So I wondered if you said advertising. That's why I wanted you to read it.
No, advertise. We go the yes. Yeah, no, you're right. No, it's quite different. Yep, absolutely.
Cool.
Sky, you still there? Is Sky still there? Okay.
I think she has to go to bed. She just wanted to say hello.
She did.
Yeah.
She just wanted to say hello.
Trying to do the collab.
Now, I did. Yes. Yes, she did. So, Sweet, did you want to say some words about following the red brick road?
Well, I love this because, first off, I love Oracle. So you start with the Oracle watches. His Oracle fascinated me, so I thought that was fascinating to start off with. And I like yet just these red bricks and the purple bruising. So I kind of like that. And juggled marbles around the ball. That was pretty interesting. Juggling marbles around the ball. Nestled within the frame. So I think that the lines in here are awesome. And I love the last stanza, Umbrella Man, we call him Stan. Like, it's so casual. Like, oh, yeah, there's Stan, the Umbrella Man. And I'm certain we're not in Kansas anymore. I really thought it was put together, as usual, very well. And the lines were fabulous and great. And, you know, Hatter, I actually would have struggled with this a lot, only because... you see marbles and all that, and I glanced at it, and I saw, like, New York and a red apple, because that skyline reminds me of New York, and I don't know if I'd see anybody going to Oz. I would more like the Key to the City, bunch of freaks going to New York. I would have saw all kinds of different things in that picture, too. So, very unique picture to write to. I think you guys both did a really great job. as always.
Thanks. And did we get a comment from Lady O? Lady O?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I've lost track of what we're doing, I'm afraid, and so I don't know what I'm supposed to be commenting on, so I apologize.
Oh.
That's okay, but take a look at the bottom of the poem, you guys. Hatter, look who stopped by. There's a comment from If You're Abs. And it says, ha, amazingly creative and such fun. I miss y'all crazy kids. Nicely done. So, of course, I took it on myself to invite him to call and say hi sometimes. So his wife's gone away, and he just might call to say hey. So,
hey, I hope so.
That's fun. If you're Abs.
Right.
That would be cool. I haven't heard from you for ages. So, yeah, there you go. I think he's been too busy getting famous as a writer and poet. Yeah, he's been churning out books.
Right.
So, right. Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, so, Hatter. I did two poems, and we better do one of them soon.
Okay.
You've got a choice. You've got a choice, Hatter. You can do a villanelle, or you can just do a normal standard rhymed poem. Which would you prefer first?
The vinaigrette or the villanelle.
You want the villanelle? Okay, righto. We'll do the villanelle
first. First one, yeah.
Okay, we'll do the villanelle. Now, of course, the villanelle is going to have to be a little bit more sort of sideways because, you know, you've got to fit in the actual sort of thing of the villanelle. So anyway, this is shading a villanelle, and it goes a little bit like this.
Okay.
I'm reaching out through doors to you where once you painted me at play on canvas 10 shades of grey through. Somewhere an orchestra in brew, I hear it, then it fades away. I'm reaching out through doors to you. Rhyming words I could write anew, and within your frame they would stay on canvas 10 shades of grey through. While preachers seek out answers too, and organs far distantly bray, I'm reaching out through doors to you. I kept seeking out blue sky's dew, but then your clouds got in the way on canvas 10 shades of grey through. Somewhere distantly love I knew, but lost to a book of psalms in pew. I'm reaching out through doors to you on canvas, 10 shades of grey through. End poem.
Somewhere distantly love I knew. Nice. While preachers seek out answers. I mean, words. So, AP. I've got the preacher, I've got the painter, the blind painter, the preacher, I got the musician, and the poor man.
Yep.
Who am I missing?
Yeah.
Who am I missing? For us to add on more characters, who am I missing?
I don't think you're missing too much. I actually think the because what you're doing is you're giving those different perspectives on the one item, and if you try and do more than four and contrast more than four, you'll lose most people. You do four, you're pretty much
there. I agree. I think you complicate the idea of what Stephen brought in was the reflection. You see each person reflective in himself. I mean, that's what I got from it. That's sort of cool. I think if I review the last line, that's what it'll be. Excellent. And that was a villanelle. What did you say it was?
That was a villanelle. It's got to be eight syllables, and it's got to have a series of things that it's got to have. But it does restrict you because it's got the line that repeats, or the two lines that repeat down the stanzas. So,
it's got to have this, it's got to have. That's what I shut down. Okay.
No. But it just makes it slightly more complicated because you've got to have those two repeating lines that can attach themselves to different meanings as you go through. That's all. They've got to be a little bit vague but specific enough to be able to complete the lines. And that's the real trick, is to get those two repeating lines to be flexible enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the second to the last line, where the poem originally ended with the poor man wishing that the dreams never came true, and he reaches for, for the sky saying, I love you. Does that make sense to anybody? Because I had somebody say, that really doesn't – are you doing it or is he doing it?
No, his
arm is just screaming to fate, love, or whatever. Did you know I loved you? And, they're already gone.
Yeah. No, I think it's a poem of yearning, Hatter, and I think it works really well having that sort of sense of yearning sort of sitting there. Yeah. Yeah, that's just my sense.
So, Deborah,
yours seems like it was a continuation of Hatter's original stanza with the burning question. Hatter ends it with, did you know that I loved you? And then you took the feel from that and expanded on it through yours, but the form for it was perfect because it gave it a haunting feel, especially with the repeat of the canvas 10 shades of gray through, and then the talk of the clouds and getting past storms and stuff like that. I don't know. Like I said, it just feels like a continuation of his original poem before he added in the alternative stanza. I think you'd agree with it.
Yeah. Okay. No, thank you. Thanks, Deb. It just—it was just with the feel, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. More to his original ending than the second one, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. Bye.
So, Sweet Pea, did you want to add anything?
I think it's lovely. I think it did really well off of your work. I the words are great. I think it's a perfect vanilla, as I call it, a vanilla poem. I like how he continues with the canvas, on canvas, 10 shades of gray through. I think that's a lovely repeated line throughout there. But I really like somewhere distantly love I mean, but lost to a book of psalms in pew. I think that's just got a really weird kind of interesting meaning to me. But lost to a book of psalms in pew. I really like that line a lot. Thank you.
Now, where the original ended after the poor man's stanza, where it used to end, if it did end then, does it sound incomplete? I mean, it did to me. That's why it kept bothering me that I needed something after that.
Yeah.
Is that just me being too critical, or do you guys agree that sort of left incomplete?
I didn't think
that was incomplete at all. No, I kind of like the sense of something hanging. I like the sense that there's something that's not complete about a piece, and that you can sort of make your own mind up about where it went and left. So I'm not one of the ones that says that you have to, you know, go and add another stanza to make that more obvious. That's all.
Okay, Deborah, what do you think? I mean, I want you guys to be totally honest. I'm not so thin-skinned it's going to bother you anyway. I just I want to know if I was too critical on the piece on how to end it for if, like AP said, that leaving a little hanging there is okay. What do you think?
Well, I like the way you did it in both cases, but I prefer the way you originally did it, the feel in it. It was like there was a mix of stuff that had to do with the seasons, like the winter's day and the summer moon. So you got that, and then you brought in the sights and sounds around you in each thing, and then you wrapped it up with the feelings at the end. Not that I don't like the alternative, but personally, I prefer it as it stands from the get-go. I don't
feel
left out or undone. I think I left the poor man wishing. I mean,
yeah.
You left. That's it. You closed it out. Now, if you would have shaped that a little better, because it's like you have these perfect lines and curves, and then all of a sudden it's short and long, and I'm sorry, I'm psycho, but
I agree. I'm not happy
the original
with
poem.
It.
I would just change the shape of the stanza, to be honest.
Okay. Lady A, what do you think?
Well, I think that it was a little bit different, I'm going to say, but I don't think that you need to change anything in it. If you don't mind me saying, I thought Stephen's last verse was much more profound than what you had written, and it certainly reflected in a dramatic way what you wrote. So I think that what you wrote you should keep and maybe just include Stephen's as your end verse as a collab. It was excellent.
Yeah, I think I was thinking too much too long about it, and that was my first mistake, was thinking.
It's interesting, but I very rarely go back and review poems that I've done. I'd much rather start again on a clean sheet of paper. And it's almost like I feel like I've captured a thought. And in trying to go back and do it again, I just sort of, I'm not sure I have that same sort of purpose and singleness of thought. And so, you know, I as I said, I rarely go back and look at a poem again because I just find that I stuff it up. And that's just me, but that's you know, my experience.
I've been going back categorizing, and so I can find things easier, if either by theme or length or however I want to change, you know, however I want to categorize it. And in doing that, I'm trying to pull what I consider my best, so I have that available at times. In doing that, I read them and I find little things that I didn't then, maybe a cadence hiccup or and such. But this one in particular, I've never been happy with, so this would be I would have gone back and changed it. Everything you guys have added. Yeah. Steven, is Steven still with us?
No, unfortunately.
Okay.
Just real quick, he has open dark poetry Monday night at the mortuary, 11:30 p.m. So if you got something dark you want to share, a poetic slice of life is the place to be.
Only if he sings me a lullaby.
I'm sure he will.
Okay.
Well,
let's go.
Do we have
recordings? A recording or something?
Oh, do we have recordings, do we?
We have Frank's recording, but I did put Sweets on the board.
We need to wait.
Okay.
Yes, we need to wait next.
Yeah.
Yep, we need to wait next. So, Sweet.
I've got one in there, you guys.
Yes, I saw.
Yeah,
you'll be next.
Okay, thanks. I took one line out of that poem and was inspired by it. So that's what I did.
Sweet, I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm having a really hard time hearing you. Is it your phone or connection?
I don't know. Maybe I need to talk louder. Okay. Is that any better?
That's a little better. Okay,
all right.
Go ahead.
I'll just talk louder. To see me. So I took one line out of that poem and came up with this. It's called 10 Shades of Five. Do you know that I loved you? Bombarded in the glow of white light, blinded by my heart at first sight. Giddy and childish, I ran straight ahead, sacrificed all, left nothing unsaid. Blindly, I believed in the dream, even as became a part of the scene. Shadows began to dance in the round, laughing and pointing at me, the fool, the clown. My world went from white to gray, lie after lie choking my airway. Teardrops turn from sadness to acid rain. I wish you no pleasure but blood and pain. Feel the cold steel blade. Die slowly, my love. Absorb my rage. Did you know that I loved you? End poem.
Wow, I like my world went from white to gray. AP, what do you think?
Oh no, I really liked it. I liked how the poem got darker and darker as it literally got darker and darker as it went down the page. That it started with that glow of white light and then it sort of got to that darkness of the absorbing the rage and the cold tip of the cold steel tip of my blade. I thought it went down the page of darkness really nicely, and it was beautiful finishing at the point that it started. And yeah, I really liked it. Sweet, really, really cool write.
Thank you.
Is there any other insight that why you picked that one line, or and not the musician or the blind painter?
I think that people are, you know, you talked about different things in there, about being blind things or how things or don't see things. And that's kind of what I went to, is that sometimes you can be blinded by your emotions and so many things are going on. And sometimes you go into things blindly, like love. And you can be the one person that's so in love, and yet that other person is just doing everything around you, and you still stay blinded by love. And that's just kind of where I went with it. And
okay.
That's kind of popped in my head.
So the message through the poem is basically in those lines. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Thank you so much. I was going to say something. Oh, I was remember wanting to write a poem, and I had a list of some metaphors and some one lines, some phrases, some partial hook lines. And I remember working out, I saw a blind man painting, and that's what all came from, was that line.
Yeah,
I saw blind man painting. And then the 10 Shades of Grey is just because of, that's the medium I picked in my own art, was black and white. I charcoal just pencil. And so it reflects on how you can see the world. Not in necessarily a good or bad way, but you don't have to go too far to see the real. It's just the color is confusing. It can be confusing sometimes. So, well, thank you, CP, very much.
Hatter, I'm going to bring on Frank into the studio. Hello, Frank.
Oh,
how
yeah.
are you?
Hello there, my friends. It's good to be on with all of you. I don't know who's on, but I heard your voice, and I heard Hatter, but I don't know who else is on.
I can tell you that it's Hatter, it's Deb, it's Lady A, it's Sweet, and your good self. So that is the set of people that we have on. And I can tell you that the next person to do their Hatter-inspired piece is Lady A. Lady A, your poem is up on the board as we speak.
Alrighty then. Okay. I got to refresh. Hang on. Okay, so this is I called it Gray and Daunting, and I wrote a new poem inspired by your poem. Gray and daunting. The sky was gray and daunting, clouds bruised royal purple. The artist's choice spoke sadness. Blue marks rained down were hurtful. Thunder played like Bonham. Fast kick, hard hit, solo Moby Dick. Fans mourned his death. His thunder plays on in Zeppelin's every lick. Summertime church meetings, evangelizing the masses. mesmerizing with music and song, reaching souls who prayed for heaven's passes. We dream dreams of peace and love to cover us forever. Behind gray skies daunting, shines sun and skies of blue. Broken hearts whose doors are locked to let love in need only trust once again. He truly does love you. End poem.
We dream dreams of peace and love to cover us forever. Behind gray skies daunting, shines sun and skies of blue. This is very nice, Lady A.
Thank you.
Now, the poor man. Did you put words to the reason why he's raised his hands to the sky and said, "Did you know I love you?" Is that?
I interpreted your words as I wrote this. I didn't really make it a consideration about the different men, the blind man, the musician, in the sense that you did. I just kind of I brought them together into this. I wanted the ultimate goal for me in this piece, being inspired by yours, was to see that through the daunting gray skies that there is the sun still shines and the sky is blue on the other side of the clouds. And the key two lines for this one for me was broken hearts whose doors are locked, let love in, need only trust once more. She truly does love you. I think that's a personal thing towards you, I guess, because, you're locked. Your heart is locked. And what spoke to me in that piece.
So, lady, I've got a question.
Yes.
For this, Heather. My question to Lady A is, which stanza did you write first of the four?
The first, I went from the very first stanza, his stanza, Tatter's stanza, and then read it, and then I just tried to speak to what I saw there, and it was the sky and the
okay,
weather.
So you wrote the first. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay.
So
when I read it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, because the reason for the question is, when I read it, I thought you might have written the last stanza first.
Okay. No. I wanted to speak to the weather, the brooding mood of his poem, the color of the sky. And then I wanted to, you talked about the musician playing, and then I thought, okay, the skies are dark, they're gray. I wanted to speak to the thunder that was there, and then bringing in the music was a given because he's a music lover. And so I thought bringing in the thunder, and then like Bonham, who was the drummer for Led Zeppelin, and we did some Led Zeppelin shows. But then the church meeting thing, because he talked about the preacher preaching.
Yes.
And so then I thought, the summertime, they used to have, I don't even know if they still do, but they used to have big old tent meetings where the evangelical group of people used to have meetings and for weeks at a time, and so I addressed that preacher part of it there. But then my last verse, because it went with his last line, "Do you know that I loved you?" And I wanted this to read, "Do you know that you are loved?"
Yes,
he knows.
Yes,
yeah.
I get that. It just sort of had a very different feel from that last verse. That's all. So, sorry, Adam.
No, go ahead. I was listening.
Well, you know what happened,
yeah,
to AP is that I tried to mirror his rhyme scheme as well in the first three verses.
Yes.
And I did okay. But
yes.
Then the last verse, I couldn't do it except for how I do kind of that long lines. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
because you can see there's just short lines in the first three verses. And then I went off into this other, perhaps I could have split it up and had two more verses, but I don't know. It just felt better this way.
No, it changed in tone, and it sort of felt more personal or something, that last stanza. That's all.
Yes. Well, I was going to really, I was going to say, so broken hearts whose doors are locked, and that should be locked, afraid to let love in, need only trust once more. And I was going to put, I truly do love you. But then I thought it would be way too personal. Yeah.
Oh, AP, you caught me. Yeah, I saw the sequence mirrored, and that's totally cool. Sort of expected that with most.
To mirror your rhyme scheme, you mean?
I'm sorry.
To mirror your rhyme scheme.
I think that's where I came in. Trouble with wanting to end it differently or change that last verse, the second to the last one that was posted online was I couldn't get anything to flow enough to end properly.
Yep.
I really appreciate critiquing this piece and getting your input. I totally enjoy it. Thank you guys.
You're welcome.
Now, obviously, Deb, did you want to I'll say a few words about Lady A's piece.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent compliment to Hatter's original piece. And I thought that, for one, yes, I did notice that you were mirroring the rhyme scheme, and I thought you did great. And I wondered why, at the end, you went off. But I think the fact that you did made it stand out more as your own.
Yep.
So, I think even if it was unintentional because you couldn't make it go the other way, I think it was a spot-on way to end it.
Do you think I should, because I had it split up before, do you think I should split it?
No. I don't think you should change it at all.
I think I could feel
Hatter mixed with your words more in the first three stanzas. And then the final stanza feels more like all you, and then the two of you blend to get. I wouldn't change anything, but what do I know?
I did change the last line, though, because that's what I wanted to put in there, and I did go back, and I just changed it now. So
okay.
There, Hatter.
Thank you. Thank you. Well done. Now, Frank, did you want to say a few words about Lady A's piece, and then we'll put your piece up on the board for you to read?
Yeah, mine does have a song club.
I had to go in and reload it because we got kicked out of our first studio, so I had to load it again. So if you refresh AP, it should be in there.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Thank you. Doing so now.
All right. This poem here really touches on, of course, it is inspired by Hatter's poem, and Hatter is he's a very inspiring person. This piece here, really what I enjoyed was the whole notion, of that last stanza. We dream dreams of peace and love to cover us forever, and behind grey skies, daunting shines, sun and skies of blue. And I love that ending there, I truly do love you. I mean, this is a very, when you think about it, you break down the word in here, its essence is very simplistic. Love is very simplistic. We make it complex. And I just love the whole notion here, how you summed up there, the poem there, and just the feeling there, how we should realize that we gravitate to each other by our experiences, by what we feel. And I like the fact that you were able to relate to Hatter's poem through just the sheer imagery, the sheer thought of what the feeling was, the vibe that you felt, and what it inspired you. So that, in a sense, is what is beautiful about poetry. This is how we relate to each other as poets. I thought you did a wonderful job there of just taking his piece there, and also as your inspiration, but also using your own words there in the end to surmise, to sum up, make that. And those four words, I truly do love you. That is very poignant. I mean, not poignant, it's very powerful. And I thought this poem was very powerful as well.
Thank you very much.
Lady, the way I wrote mine, I would consider it a very, very tight rhyme. It would be very hard for anyone to mirror it. Because of the rhyming, and it is tight. It's short. You have more variance.
Yep.
It's the longer end rhyme line, But just to let you know that, what you tried to do, and did okay in the first stanza, and I can see it in the first couple of lines of each one of the stanzas. But that was a difficult attempt. What you were trying to do, that was a difficult one to do it.
Yeah, difficult thing to try. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
We've got a SoundCloud for you, and well done, Lady A. I'm going to play the SoundCloud now, Frank, and I put your both of us. Deb beat me by a couple of seconds. I've put your palm up on the board, so I'm just about to play that SoundCloud now. And here we go now.
With the gentle strokes of a brush, I described a blind man painting alone upon the wintry colors of a canvas before guiding stars of the unknown. He asked me if I had seen the angel displayed in the 10 shades of grey within the myriad of endless dreams shaped from the magical mold of clay. I listened then to the angelic symphony, so cadent and somber in the adagio tone, from the sober sounds of the harmonies and the notes resonating in the stars shone. He asked if I had heard the angels in the early hours of the springtime dawn, gathered before the cerulean lake together to see the dancing ballad of a whistling swan. When he painted his vision of virtuosity, I admired his masterpiece in passion, for I realized he was a poor man wishing to change the world of his compassion. His magic was the true beauty of his brush, a refulgence of colors, of strokes so bright, towed in silence and cloaked in the darkness within the 10 shades of gray of a starry night. Towed in silence and cloaked in the darkness within the 10 shades of grey of a starry night. Interpol.
Very nicely read. Very nicely read. And I'm just going to grab Hatter, who we lost for a few moments during that piece. Hatter, you're back with us.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I guess that was my line making that interference noise. I don't know what's going on.
Very, very excellent recording of that piece, and I hope you heard it. Lady A, did you want to say a few words about Frank's piece?
Yes, I thought it was fabulous. I thought it was beautifully read. The tone and the the speed in which you read it, like the, it was perfect, and I thought that it was a great inspirational piece based on Hatter's poem. I thought it was a wonderful. I guess it's, you know, your voice lends so much power to your pieces when you read or record your poetry, and I really enjoyed how the pace of that. It was it drew me in completely, and it was just a really beautiful interpretation of Hatter's piece. Wonderful job.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And his poem really was very inspiring. I can say that.
Yeah. Look, it was it had a wonderful feel to it, Frank. The recording and the words that sort of led to it was quite mesmerizing in terms of drawing you into the piece, in terms of how you read it and how you portrayed the piece in the recording. So was and even the music in the background for some reason was really effective in helping create the mood and the tone that I think you were trying to search for. So very, very, very effective SoundCloud. Well done.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir. And I agree, the music was very inspiring as well.
No, it was. It was it definitely. So Deb, are you with us? I know you've dropped in and dropped out, but are you still with us to comment?
I am. I was lucky enough that your phone didn't die until he was done reading. But I have to say, I agree. For one thing, sometimes people choose background music and it drowns them out, but this one complemented your voice and the feel of the poem perfectly, so great choice on the background. And I thought that your read and your tone and your words had a soft beauty and a slight sensual feel to it. I really thought that you did a great job, inspired by Hatter's poem, but also dipping it in your own personal touch, so it came out great.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, and I'm hopefully Pat enjoyed it as well.
Well, Pat has dropped out a couple of times. Hi, Pat, are you back?
Am I unmuted? Unmute me. I'm muted.
I have unmuted you.
You are unmuted.
You disappeared in and out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Frank, I missed the recording and I reread what you had and thank you so much. I really like it.
I appreciate that, my friend.
You made it even more personal. You made it personal.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Whenever you can hear it, whenever you have time, and I thought it was very inspiring, your piece there. So it really just led me to this type of tone of voice. It was somewhat of a somber piece as well. And I wanted to, it's not that I wanted to make it completely somber, but it did take me that way. But it also made me realize, as I read and I was writing, that it's also very human. You know, it's very much any one of us can, you know, how would we not relate to someone like this? You know, I can't really think of someone who can say, I don't know what this person relates to. You know, we don't have to be blind to know that this person has feelings. You know, this person has thoughts as well, emotions, etc. This person is equally like us, they're human beings. So this is how I really gravitated to that sense of the inspiration for this piece here.
Yeah, you very much personalized it and the verse, and you also legitimized it by explaining the actions of each. Each person mentioned, I thought that was a great.
Yeah, it layered a few layers, didn't it, Hatter? It sort of gave a further sort of sense of depth, I think.
Yeah. I've got to run now, my friends, but I just wanted to say
no, thank
I just
you, Frank.
Wanted to call
thank
in. I wanted to call in and just hang off a bit and have to. I wanted you to hear this piece here. So that was all that I really cared.
Yeah, I'll listen to the recording later, but I really like it when I read it, and I will listen to it later. Thank you.
But it was a great poem you wrote as well. Your poem was very inspirational. All right, my friends, take care. I'm going to call
in
tonight.
Thank you
take
again.
Care.
Night, Frank.
Thank you. Okay. Cheers.
I'm going to call it a night, you guys. It's like almost 2 o'clock in the morning here, so.
You can.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the evening. Night-night.
Night, lady. Thank you. Okie dokie. So, Deb, we've got 3 poems to run. I thought I might read Budo's poem next, and then you can read yours, and I'll finish with mine, if that's okay.
Perfect.
If we
I should say, only 3 to go, and I should say, too, Hatter, that I have got a thought for the theme for next week, because it's important to note that everybody has rhymed. Yeah, because yours was a rhyming poem. You're a rhymer, and everybody's gone and done the rhyme thing for your piece. And so I thought to myself, we should have an anti-rhyme poem show next week. And the way to do that is to have the theme of orange, because nothing in the English language rhymes with orange. And so, therefore, we end up having an anti-rhyme show because you can't actually rhyme anything with orange.
I wrote one about that orange, and
did you? Well, there you go.
Yes,
so
I
you
did.
Could use that. But anyway, I'm just saying, next week is orange, the anti-rhyme show. Meanwhile, back on spec here, we have the piece from Budo that I've put up on the board that I'm going to read that is 10 Shades of Grey Revisited.
I stepped away. I didn't hear what next week is.
Ah, I said... This was the thinking. You bear with me. All of the stuff's been rhyming this week for Hatter. Yeah. And so I thought we should do an anti-rhyme show next week, which means that we use the theme orange because nothing rhymes with orange in the English language.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. We can do that.
That's my thinking.
Wow.
So the theme is orange.
Anti-rhyming orange. Okay.
Anti-rhyming orange. There you go. Here we go. So,
give me one sec.
Meanwhile. Yes.
I'm going to say something. Hold on.
Sorry, Hatter.
Go on. I'm going to find something
here. Okay, cool. This is Budo. This is 10 Shades of Grey Revisited. Jay Hatter. It goes a little bit like this. I watched a blind man painting on a blustery cold winter's day. He asked me if I had with me a can of 10 Shades of Grey. I had a musician playing under a hot summer moon. He asked me if I'd written the songs that made him blue. I saw a preacher preaching one glorious springtime dawn, rhyming words and questions, singing a biblical psalm. I left a poor man wishing for the dreams that never came true. The sky he kept reaching for, did you know that I loved you? And from them that I realized, each shade bears soul and saviour. We all have answers to finalize, to barter fate into our favour. End poem.
I like it.
Isn't that nice?
Each shade bears soul and saviour. We all have that answer to finalize.
To finalize. Part of fate into our favor. Isn't that nice?
That is good. What do you think, Deb?
And really good. Really good. Really liked it. Deb, what do you think? Do you like it as well?
Absolutely. And you know what else is standing out for me? The fact that it seems like everybody took the original poem with the original ending and ran with it.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, for one, there's your answer, Hatter. I don't think anybody found it incomplete to begin with.
No.
And as your original write, it's spot on. And look at all this amazing poem that's inspired by it. I think Pluto did an excellent job. I almost thought he might wind up singing for this one, but just writing is just as great. Another spectacular piece. Appreciate it, Pluto.
If he's into reading verses that, to see if he would be inspired to write something too, called I've got a couple that I wanted to have a look at. I didn't know. Should I ask him?
No.
So, Buddha,
are you accepting in lyrics to
see if it inspires you for a song? Just let us know. Was that polite or was that rude?
No. You can certainly ask. You certainly can.
Or we'll never read another one of yours. No, I'm kidding.
I see what's on the board, that's for next week. That's for next week. I'll leave this for next week.
So
I'm glad you found it already, but that's for next week.
You know, Miss Chaos said that one time about Orange. So she said that I couldn't write something about.
There you go. Yeah, if Miss Chaos says it and I'm saying it as well, then I'm on good ground.
Well, no, then I had to, of course, write something about Orange, and I came up with, aren't you glad I didn't say banana? That's the old line in the old joke. Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?
Very
right?
neat. Very
now,
neat.
Now, this is more of something you have to see than to read.
Yes.
And
no,
I
understand.
Emphasize
I understand.
It in the bin.
So it's allowed for next week. No, I do, but it's allowed for next week because next week's Orange. Okay. Meanwhile, Deb, I've put your poem up on the board that is about this particular poem still. So this is Spray from Hatter's Can of Grey that is up on the board now.
Awesome. And for me, when I was reading them, first I read it the first way, and I read it the second way. And in both cases, I got the feel that you were like on a journey and you were speaking of things that you were seeing and things that were standing out and meaning something to you. But all along, you were also mentioning the seasons and stuff like that and the senses. So this is how it hit me.
Okay.
So here we go. I ache for the blonde child weeping as her balloon flowers wilt bit by fall. She kneels to pray neath the sky stained gray so that in the spring she'll again see them all. Then I talk to the vet in the alley, skin from the cold is chafed and bright red, from laying on icy sidewalks and shivering with no food, no blankets, no bed. I scan for the lights as dark black hits, tinting ebony hues on night's velvet display, but opal stars burst from the gray shroud. Then for all, I bow my head to pray. And Paul.
Intriguing. Now, I've got to say, I just was quickly looking at my poem, Deb, because when you read your piece that talked about the skin is cold and chafed and bright red, I swear I had something like that in one of my earlier versions. I almost had exactly the same wording. It's really interesting. I must have deducted it because it's not there now, but I can tell you, I swear I had a line almost exactly the same as it. So there you go.
Wow, that's awesome.
We were thinking in the same way. I do like the finish. I like that sense of reaching and then the colours that come and the reaction to that. I think that's a really clever way to end. But Hatter, what did you think?
I like it a lot. I like what you did with the end of the first one. She kneels to pray neath skies stained gray so that in the spring she'll again see them all. Yeah, you tightened up, you buttoned up each one of the loose ends of the verse there. Hold on, let's see. I scan. Yeah, I was hoping, and maybe it was a little too abstract, but I was hoping somebody would get the relation to all the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. I went for a walk on a cold winter's day.
Mm.
I'll
well,
be safe and warm.
I was
in L.A.
Yeah, well, I said you were on a walk, taking in the sights.
Yeah.
I just didn't call it California Dreaming.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Now, we have a call-up, Hatter. So I'm just going to call them in. Hello, 501. Who are we speaking to, please?
Rebecca?
Hello.
Rebecca.
Hello.
Hi. This is a show.
Our rapper.
We were just talking about you. Hatter and I were talking about you yesterday. He's still impressed by your song.
Thank you.
I am. I'm very much.
The way
you got
of honor, I put your name in front of it, and now it's part of your studio library. Just saying.
Yeah. Oh, is it? It's cool. You have permission to play that on the air?
Yeah.
Over
that, sure.
Okay. Cool. You know, during the song, there's a couple places you let your vibrato out. I could hear that you can sing, can't you?
Thank you.
Aww.
There you go.
I do like to sing.
There you go. This is a good thing from somebody who does sing occasionally.
Yep.
Not very well, but does sing occasionally. It's always good to have people on the radio that actually do sing, Rebecca, so join the club. Thank you.
I have a question, though. Rebecca, did you write something for tonight, or?
Not anything specific. I think it's Wonderland themed.
Cool.
Well, then you get a pass. Wonderland's always acceptable.
While you find that, I'm going to do my last poem and then we'll finish with yours. How about that?
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Perfecto mundo.
Sorry.
All I was going to say, and then we could play the show out with the other one if you wanted to. Hatter was trying to tell you about.
Yeah, cool.
Yep.
We can do that too. Perfect.
Cool.
Okie doke. While we do all of that stuff in the background, I'm going to do my second one for you, Hatter. So I did two poems for you. This is the officially known as the Not Villanelle one. And it is called Shades Strum, and it goes a little bit like this. I always thought you knew while distantly drawn today. Once closer I became to you and the friction left worn away. Around your lyrical voice and yes, colours on display, in your tunes I did rejoice by their symphony in array. Did strum upon and in a knoll till worn into matted did stray. I, as a blind man with a bowl and an arm where needles play. Upon the blustery winds now, face slashed by Cannes' decay, I look back and wonder how. My life is 10 shades of grey. End poem.
Ouch, the better one. Yeah. You look a little bit free.
A little bit.
There. A little bit.
A little bit.
I look a little bit rhymed. And
oh,
I look a little bit rhyme.
So, quite tight ABAB. But just rolled out quite nicely, actually, that poem, Adam.
Yeah. The flow was there. You, I love the piece, the arm and the needle, the record player, right?
I put you.
The arm?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A symphony array. Always thought you knew.
Yeah, we should do more of this mirror one of yours and see how that goes.
Well, we might try that sometime.
All right.
Deb, what did you think of this one?
I thought this one's flow and rhyme was like flawless, where you forget that it was, not that you forget, that's the wrong term, forgetting that it was rhyme. It was so spot on obvious that you weren't forcing any of the rhyme, I guess is what a better way to put it. It just fit the flow around your lyrical voice, and yes, colors on display in your tunes. I did rejoice by their symphony in array. I mean, just the thoughts and emotions in that one stanza is incredible. And I like the way you closed it out specifically. I look back and wonder how my life is 10 shades of gray. I think that it is an excellent ending because, like, pretty sure I was going to say mine's 50 shades of gray, but I swear I wasn't the pun intended, but then it hit me out what I was saying. So I'll stick with the 10 shades. I don't want to start any conversations.
Yes.
Don't belong in a PG-13 room. Just saying. But no, I can't decide which one. I can't decide which one of the two I liked better tonight. And usually I'm a mega fan of the Villanelle, which was excellent, but this one's special.
Yeah, I like the way you ended it. Well, if you were to punish somebody or yourself put your own punishment to take the colors away of everything would be definitely a way to do that, so you don't see. And I mean that abstractly, or metaphorically, to where you no longer see. You see love, but you don't see the levels of it.
Yes.
You see the sky, but you don't see clouds. You know, that kind of a thing.
Did we lose Hatter?
Yeah.
And sometimes when you mix together colors, you can get gray before you get black.
A
like
true
from
enough
an artistic standpoint.
True enough too on a palette you can. So, Rebecca, I was going to ask you for a few words, and then if you could put one of your Wonderland poems directly up on the board and read, that would be great.
Yes. Okay. Let's see.
How many Wonderland poems?
Sorry, I got distracted by Wonderland. So one of the things I liked was, you know, I as a blind man with a bowl and an arm when needles play. I liked the whole thing. It's interesting you use the word lyrical because as you were reading it, I could kind of hear a melody.
Yes.
And so this could be turned into a song pretty easily. And I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah, I tend to write to a melody. I have to force myself to stop that when I'm doing poems to try to confuse people. Maybe that's not me, but I do tend to write to a melody, interestingly enough. So, well picked up. Now, we were going to get you to put one of your poems on the board. Now, it can be Wonderland related or not. It's up to you, Rebecca. We will go with the flow.
I am briefly going through and making sure that this is safe, but I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
We believe
well,
you.
Hold on.
If you're looking at a specific word because of the PG-13 thing, just skip that one word.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have cursing or anything like that in it.
Okay.
It's just there is a slight reference to, like, abuse in there, but it doesn't have any cursing in it. Yeah. I search for Alice. I've written actually a few things that have like references to Alice in Wonderland, so just trying to find one. See if that's don't think I named them all Wonderland, but I think that one would be okay.
I think it's awesome. Fine.
It looks fine.
Alice?
You're good. Good to go.
All right. Okay, this is called Alice. Words are rattling cages in my head, stuck when I don't know what should be said. My lips are wired shut like a vice, leaves me feeling judgment's Christ. Guilty for being silent, complacency bleeds me dry, makes my mouth muffled see like cotton seed. Seeds of crazy, taunting, coding trips breed me to fell me down the rabbit hole to flee. Like I was a small pill who took the blue pill. Still, I spy a riddle in your verses. Catch dill pickles, tickle me and call me in the morning when you're not feeling ill. Like an illegal, boring film that wasn't worth the piracy. Your lunacy is showing like a sore thumb and I'm numb. Like ice buckets pouring out my eyes. My lids are stuck, shut, and daggers rise from irises like a sty that's piercing eyelids. I'll sleep and take leaps through dreams of hot spring waterfalls, cauterizing streams of tears and tears ripping me at the seams. It seems I've caught a case of Wonderland, wandering in my brain, still a strain, backhand my face, leaving cherry red prints trace. Cells like an ivory canvas with holy lace. See me through the looking glass. I'm 2D glass, cracked in poem.
Hey, that was nice.
I like it.
I like that.
Yeah. It sounded like you wanted to break out into and rap some of that. I'll sleep and take the leaves through the dreams and waterfalls. Yeah. Where was the oh, the I'm still, I spy a riddle in your verses, catch the dill, pickles, and go call me in the morning. Take 2 dill pickles and call me in the morning, huh? What do you think?
I think that's really neat. I think it's really neat. I particularly like when you're not feeling ill, like an illegal, boring film that wasn't worth the piracy. I really like that. And then your lunacy, which then rolls. I really
quite
like some of the internal patents. It's really neat. Yeah, it's really neat. Deb, did you want to say a few words about this one? Then we'll come back to both of us and go from there.
I think that you're really awesome with this, and the visuals are pretty cool too. You space it in the middle, and then where you say words got down, and the down is actually one letter at a time, it pulls you down further. And you started to touch on this part, AP, where it says your lunacy. And I love the next line, is showing like a sore thumb and I'm numb. You know, I have to give a nod to Rat Free because, Rebecca, it's obvious that you are from the group because of your extra rhyme and flow and the fact that I thought you were ready to break out into a rap. It seems like everybody at Rap Free can just spit out the rhyme like they do in their sleep, and you are one of those. Great share.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Rebecca, how long does it – now, I ask everybody these kind of questions, so don't feel like I'm picking on you or you don't have to answer anything I ask. But how long does it take you to write something like this? Do you do a lot of editing afterwards, or does it just flow out of you easily that you do very little?
So usually I'll get one lyric that'll be stuck in my head, and I'll sit down and either I'll find a beat that I like, or sometimes I'll just sit down and kind of let the thoughts pour out of me, and then I'll get the first draft, and then I'll go back and I will edit the first draft and then look at it again and edit it. And if I'm singing it, then there's another editing process that happens whenever I actually go and record it to music, because you know, a syllable is a note, and so sometimes I might have an extra note I don't need, and so I might take out a word without losing the meaning. That's kind of my process. And as far as how long that takes, it really kind of just depends on what it is. oftentimes okay. the recording of it takes far longer than the actual writing of it. I have a few things that I've actually written that I haven't posted yet because I'm still going through the recording process, and I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I have it in my head how I think it should sound, and so I keep kind of fiddling with it until
Okay, now that leads into my next question would be have you ever had in a final edit tweaking one self implode on you and you lose it?
No, not usually, because I work usually with Band Lab, so if I mess something up, I can always go back to the previous edit.
Right.
And same thing with like the stuff that I used to write in, I can usually go back.
Okay.
Now I have lost like pieces, but usually I get them back, or I can remember enough of it that I can. Can carry on with where I left off.
Cool. I've done it to where I'm totally self-destruct. So I think I'm right there fixing it, and then it just goes. I lose it. But
yeah. One thing I've done before is I was driving, or if I'm at work or someplace where I can't like easily write something down and I might lose it, I will record it.
Yep.
And save the recording, and so then I have it.
Yeah.
That's smart.
I've done that before,
I always have a pencil and paper by my bed. I usually have them on me, too. I usually have something to write with and a piece of paper in my wallet or something. Some of the best stuff comes to me in the middle of the night.
It's weird to me, so I don't usually write my stuff on paper. I've tried. But for some reason, like, I've gotten used to doing everything digitally, and so it messes with my
everything
head. It's like, right. Well, because I'm an artist,
so
too, so I like to draw.
The paper gets in.
You're
and,
an artist.
Yeah, I like to draw, and I do calligraphy and stuff. So when I try to write, instead of going into, like, the thought process and the thinking of it, I find myself focusing on the art itself, like literal art of drawing, and it completely, it's a different, like a different part of the brain.
Yeah.
Than
Now we have a place called Hatter's Wonderland, and it's a group of just the artists and a place to post some of your art. Would you like to come in and show your stuff off?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to draw. I would.
Do you? What medium do you use? Do you just black and white or inks? Or
a little bit of everything. I've done charcoal. I've done paint, like acrylic paint. I've done pastel, like oil pastels, marker, pen, just kind of a little bit of everything.
Yeah, cool. AP, are we done with the reading? Are we still on time?
We
got 8 minutes. We're done. Okay, cool. I'll get you the link. Deborah, could you get into the link of Hatter's Wonderland?
I did already.
Okay, thanks.
I did already.
You're so good. I have a feeling this is going to be like Gwen, Irish Rose, Envira, and put my work to shame, which is totally fine.
So Hatter, we should... Deb, have you got, I think there was a recording that Rebecca did. Have you got that set up in the studio?
I do. I moved it down to Hatter's name, so let me find it. And in the meantime, let me tell everyone real quick that tomorrow Pretty Bird's going to do a show at 11 p.m. It's called Fight or Flight, and she poses the question, are we supposed to bite tooth and nail for love, or is it supposed to be easy when the perseverance becomes stupidity? And she said, do we fight for true love or leave it meant to be? Where is that line between the fairy tale and reality at one point? Does it stop becoming a test and start becoming detrimental to our emotional well-being? So that's topic tomorrow, and then Monday's personal prompt. Monday, pick a number, put it on the board. I'll give you your picture, and you can match it up with the word banks and stuff. And in the meantime, I did go and pull out the link for Rebecca's song so that you know, we could follow along.
Now, let me see. I think I put under Hatter Rebecca. So let me look at that real quick, Hatter. And
Hatter, better say, Hatter, did you want to close out and say thanks?
Real quick. I want to thank everybody for calling in, the ones that called in, and for writing for my show. Let's see, Budo, Steven, Sweet Pea, thanks for you, and I'm glad you're back. Sky, thank you. Rebecca, thank you for coming. AP, you're great every Saturday. I look forward to you make it enjoyable. And Deborah Lee, could never do this without you. Thank you so much.
Sure you could.
And I think
Frank,
I got
Frank
everybody.
And,
Frank and Buddy,
Frank
absolutely.
And,
and Frank, yeah.
And
Frank.
Yeah, and next week, Hatter, we are on the Unrhyming show, which, of course, will be orange. So that's how things
Well, that's going to be hard.
Orange.
I know it is. It's a challenge, though. It sounds like fun. Okay, Unrhyming Orange. Same bat time, same bat station. Now, click on the link, and we will go out of this show with the amazing song written by Rebecca. And awesome show, Hatter and AP. Here we go.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Rebecca.
You're welcome.
Milk and honesty and cocker. Breathe, baby, breathe. Milk and honest, ink and pocket. Breathe, baby, breathe. Milk and honest, ink and pocket. Rich hot money.
How many times have we lost the knowledge paying homage to some savage language? Every day's a journey and I'm thirsty, searching for that mystery and energy that'll send me to a higher seeing body. From that prana to the skylight, I ain't got it quite right, but when I do, I'll ignite. Cause when you seek, you shall find. Got that 432, yeah, it's resonating minds. I'm drowning out my poltergeist, and every day I open blinds. But I'm peeking past the wise, so I turn around and rise. Water in that synergy, don't be drinking dirty. It's the key to fleeing misery, and baby, you are worthy. So breathe, baby, breathe. Breathe, baby, breathe. Milk and onyx, ink and pockets, rich hot monix. Breathe, baby, breathe.
Breathe, baby, breathe.
It's a process burning up the nonsense. In these bonfires of sin, sometimes it feels immense to take some steps to sever habits like these cigarettes. Let's burn the matches in the madness. Return these circumstances that have trapped us all in sadness. Reincarnating from the ashes while we're shifting our intentions. Scout that 432. Words, broader lessons, yeah, invigorate the masses. Yeah, it's 432. Is it resonating yet? Meditate on this frequency. I'm ringing it like sirens with these harmonies. Being pleasant while present, healing lament. Deeply resplendent, and all you gotta do is breathe, baby, breathe. Breathe, baby, breathe.
Milk and honest, ink and pockets. Breathe, baby, breathe. Milk and honest, ink and pockets. Breathe, baby, breathe. Milk and honest, ink and pockets. Rich hot honey. Breathe, baby, breathe. Milk and honest, ink and pockets, rich hot money. Breathe, baby, breathe. Breathe, baby, breathe. Milk and honest, ink and pockets, rich hot money. Breathe, baby, breathe. Breathe, baby, breathe. Just breathe.
Yeah, like that. Hey, Mrs. Robinson.
Thank you.
That was awesome. That was so awesome.
Brilliant stuff. Well done. Well, Hatter, we should finish up the show, I guess, and say, as I said, thank you to that you said everybody thanks to, and that we'll be back with the Unrhyming show next week with the prompt.
No rhyme. No rhyme time. Yeah.
Yep.
No
rhyme
time.
No. As I said, rhyming. And
we'll see everybody in a week's time. Thanks, Hatter. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Rebecca.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday in Oz.
Thank you, Doc. We'll do.
And
everybody.
Rebecca, knock on the door at Wonderland and we'll let you in.
All right. Respect, everyone. Night.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.